It's in front of 10 o'clock. We're about an hour away from Between the Covers. Today, host Jay Thiemeyer speaks with Portland writer Justin Hocking about his book, The Great Floodgates of the Wonder World, winner of the 2015 Oregon Book Award for Creative Nonfiction. And then at 11:30 on Black Book Talk, author Stuart K. Robinson challenges us to overcome boundaries that limit possibility in his book, It All Begins with I, The New Rules of Thinking. Thanks for listening to KBOO, and thanks, members, for your support. If you are not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate today. Stick around. Air Cascadia is off today, and we'll hear an hour-long Flashpoints right after this.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. Hosted by Colorado-based Yonder Mountain String Band, this year's festival includes bands such as Grinsky's Bluegrass, the infamous String Dusters, Keller Williams' Grateful Grass, Sook Twins, and more. There will also be a late-night stage, an early-morning Cascadia stage, and daytime movies and seminars. Again, that's the 14th Annual Northwest String Summit, July 16th through the 19th at Horning's Hideout in North Plains, Oregon. More information about the festival can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Flashpoints, the Supreme Court stays full implementation of the draconian anti-poor, anti-abortion law, but the threat against a woman's right to choose remains under extreme attack in Texas and from one end of this country to the other. We'll meet some of the young folks who are on the front lines and were arrested in Texas fighting against this anti-woman oppression. And we'll feature an excerpt from our interview last night with the longtime anti-death penalty advocate Michael Kroll. And, well, we'll be talking about a crackdown on the poor in touchy-feely Berkeley, California.
All right, KBOO here. We actually have the wrong Flashpoints airing right now. We are going to get the correct one up momentarily right after this.
Thank you.
flashpoints, Germany and the EU tightening the screws on millions of Greek citizens and the only leftist government left in Europe. Also, the U.S. colony of Puerto Rico facing bankruptcy with a whopping $72 billion debt. And our regular weekly broadcast of the Electronic Intifada with Nora Barros Friedman. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. In Berkeley, California, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, the BBC is reporting at this hour that the Greek prime minister has offered new concessions to the country's creditors. According to the BBC, in a letter to the creditors, the prime minister said he was prepared to accept most conditions that were on the table before talks collapsed, and he called for the referendum. Speaking on Greek TV, he once again urged a no vote in Sunday's poll. Joining to talk about the battle between Greece and the EU, or maybe it's really between Germany and Greece, is James Henry. Mr. Henry is a former chief economist at the international consultancy firm McKinsey & Company. He is now senior fellow at the Columbia University Center for Sustainable International Investment. Mr. Henry, welcome to Flashpoints.
You're very welcome.
All right. Well, it's good to have you with us. Well, you said today that several noted economists, including Joseph Stiglitz and Paul Krugman, have said that what the EU is doing to Greece makes no sense from an economic point of view. And they're right. Well, please explain first for the lay audience what exactly you understand the EU is doing to Greece, and then let's begin with your sense of why you think it's a mistake.
Well, what's happened is that since the 2008 financial crisis, the Greek economy, like many others, plunged into a deep recession. In fact, Greece's recession has been even deeper than the U.S. Great Depression relative to Greece. They had accumulated a pretty large debt to French and Greek banks after joining the euro in 2001. And, you know, being part of the common currency in Europe allowed Greece to borrow heavily abroad. A lot of that money that they borrowed was misspent. It went into, not surprisingly, German banks were financing German arms sales to the Greek Air Force. They were just persuaded them that they needed to militarize. And French banks also were doing similar things. Then in 2011, Greece ran out of money and engaged in a big restructuring program in which basically the private bank loans got taken out by the European Central Bank, by the IMF. And, you know, the notion was that in exchange for this consolidated lending on the order of now more than $312 billion, Greece would agree to cut spending and to reform its economic system and basically implement what's called an austerity program, austerity being a kind of bloodletting program on the part of your creditors come in. And, you know, there's no bankruptcy program for sovereign states around the world, unlike private companies. And so states, when they get into this situation, they're basically required to go through the ringer. Greece has been going through the ringer for 5 years. They have a 25% unemployment rate. 60% of young people are unemployed. Their economy has dropped by about 40%. And basically, the new government that came in January said, enough of this. You know, the austerity program was supposed to restore growth. It hasn't done so. The debt ratio now is higher, more than 180% of GDP. And so we want a deal. We want effective write-down of this debt. So for the last 6 months, there's been this negotiation going on with respect to the European Commission, the ECB, and the IMF to try to get the creditors to relent. You know, so this has come to the head just this week. And as you said, the Prime Minister of Greece this morning submitted a new offer finally under pressure. But basically, that offer that you just talked about has been rejected. The Eurogroup Council just said no, and the Germans said specifically no. What they're after, it seems to me, is they want a change in regime in Greece. They're tired of this leftist government. They're worried about the opposition to austerity programs spreading to countries that are much larger debtors, like Spain and Italy. They're also taking a look, and Portugal is another one that's been affected. And they're also taking a look at situation in other countries like the Ukraine, which has asked for a big debt relief program.
Let me just jump in here for a moment and just to fill this out a little bit. In terms of austere and austerity, what exactly, paint us your picture of what that looks like on the ground.
Well, on the ground, it means cutbacks in government spending programs, in pensions, which are very important to the Greek wage earners and retired people. Substantial cutbacks in health and education, and also public schooling in Greece. They have been requiring Greece to privatize a lot of state-owned assets. And so the consequence of all this is, a substantial reduction in the size of the budget deficit that they're running every year. When, back in 2010, 2011, that was more than 16% of national income. Now it's been reduced to the point where they're actually running a surplus. So there's been an extraordinary effort on the part of the Greek government, not only this one, but the previous one, to get the house in order. And yet at the end of the day here, the creditors have not been willing to accept a reduction in the debt. And that's the big problem. If you're a private company and, you made some bad investments and, you're unable to pay, we don't throw the company into a debtor's prison and say, you're just going to suffer. We understand that there's a need for debt restructuring where the creditors actually have to share some of the reduction. In the case of sovereign states, the world community has never come up with an effective way of restructuring sovereign debt. And in this case, Greece is kind of like a colony of the banks. It's effectively being put through this austerity program where, there's no employment growth, the economy is still declining, and there is no end in sight to this project. And the banks are still, the government entities are even harder to deal with than private banks. The IMF just never gives in on getting paid back in full for its loans. So, this is a situation where I think the economists that I've mentioned there, Stiglitz and Paul Krugman and Jeffrey Sachs is another one, a lot of reasonable, moderate economists around the world are taking a look at this situation and say, look, haven't you read John Maynard Keynes? On the insanity of, this is kind of pre-Keynesian austerity taken to the limit. Now, the United States doesn't really care about Greece that much. It doesn't have much loans outstanding. I think most Americans are kind of watching this endless debate from afar. But I think we ought to pay attention because, this could not only jeopardize the EU, the euro, and but there are some other major debtor countries in Europe that are on the fence here, and I think might follow suit. And, we're seeing Puerto Rico just
Let me stop you there. Yeah. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's the voice of James Henry. Henry is a former chief economist at the international consultancy firm McKinsey Company. He is now senior fellow at the Columbia University Center for Sustainable International Investment. And we are indeed talking about Greece. So let's see if we can turn this a bit to the positive side. side. You did say today also, sir, that you said, and I'm quoting now, consider that while they are putting the screws, this is the EU, while they are putting the screws on the left-wing government in Greece, much of the U.S. and the European establishment is working to help the right-wing government in Ukraine as it seeks to restructure its $125 billion debt and its economy is falling apart. So is there a contradiction here? Is there a reason why the U.S. is supporting one policy and not another? Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the, you know, sort of disparity in treatment here really reflects the fact that this is mainly a political decision. I mean, in the case of Greece, they have, you know, the EU has refused even to take the latest offer from the Greek prime minister, which is, you know, we're talking about a few billion dollars of debt relief here in the scheme of things. It's not it's a rounding error. In the case of the Ukraine, where we're in this kind of new Cold War with Russia, we decided that for political reasons, we will look favorably upon, you know, in having the IMF inject a $15 billion of debt relief and new lending over the next 3 years into that situation. The economy in the Ukraine is falling at 9% a year. It's a bad credit risk. But, you know, there's a political will on the part of the NATO countries to, you know, to backstop this neoliberal government. And I'm not sure that I would call it right wing. The finance minister is an American citizen. Minister of the economy is a Lithuanian, and Minister of Health is a Georgian, so they're not even, it's not clear who they are. But anyway, this new government that the Ukraine has received much more generous support than the, you know, we've given to a full-time NATO member, which is Greece. I would say, you know, the only way you can make sense of what we're doing with Greece is that the EU is basically sending a signal to